We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the... Go, you know the thing.
We will shut you down. We will cite you. And if we need to, we will arrest you and we will take you to jail. Period.
I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
God actually spoke to me. He spoke about sacredness. He said to me, Kim, what I place in many, many people is sacred. And if anybody touches what is sacred to me, then it is the end for them. So what I've done in the United States of America is sacred. And there are people on every side that are trying to destroy what I deem sacred. And it's not going to happen.
This is the definition of criminal conspiracy, racketeering, and collusion. This is not a theory. This is evidence.
Because I have upheld this country to spread a light to the rest of the world. When you choose to go against the sacred thing that God puts into the very heart and the soil of this nation, this was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Folks, on today's show, we're interviewing a man who normally looks really good, but for some reason, I think it's the camera angle or it's the lighting. I'm not really sure what's going on, but today's guest is now looking really, really good. Jim Brewer, welcome on to the Thrive Time Show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing quite dandy. It is 11 a.m. here in Naples, Florida. Skies are a little blue and some thunderstorms on the way as we all keep an eye on the smoke that's lurking the east side of America, which I just flew out of, by the way, which the fires, by the way, all started at the same time. No coincidence there. So yeah, things are really getting heated up, no pun intended. What lies behind the smoke?
Climate change. People, run for your lives. Go back in the houses. We need to shut things down again.
Jim, what
I'm going to do... Good morning.
Jim, I'm going to do today is I want to tap into your wisdom. I call this the thumbs up or thumbs down game with Jim Brewer, okay? So I'm going to tee up a fastball of something that the mainstream media wants us to like or to consume or to say, yeah, this is a good thing. And I'm going to play it. And then I'd love to get, your immediate, thumbs up, thumbs down. What's your initial reaction? These are real things. So let me hit play here, folks. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Scott O'Neill here in Medellin, Colombia today. And I'm at the world's biggest mosquito factory for the World Mosquito Program. We're making in here 30 million mosquitoes a week. Come and have a look. We're doing it for a very serious reason. Cities like Medellin have suffered from diseases like dengue, Zika, chikungunya for decades, but not anymore. We've been able to bring the solution of Wolbachia mosquitoes to this city.
When this bacteria called Wolbachia gets introduced into the mosquito, it stops their ability to transmit dengue. We release mosquitoes that have Wolbachia. Now they go and mate, and Wolbachia gets passed into the wild mosquito population. If we're going to control these diseases in all the tropical cities of the world, it's going to require a lot of mosquitoes.
The mosquito life cycle starts with the egg. And in this room, we've got a lot of eggs. Each one of these strips, these tiny black dots.
Jim, this is a Bill and Melinda Gates funded organization. That's
of course it is.
1,000.
You don't have to. Yeah. I already heard about this couple of years. Bill, the mad, demonic, evil emperor of the world, psychopath, came up years ago. He's like, I'm gonna stick things in mosquitoes and we'll start releasing them in Florida. How does society put up with psychopaths straight out of a Spider-Man movie? All the crazy movies in Batman, the Avengers, it's Bill Gates is the evil guy. Who Who comes up? First of all, that's another thing. My neighbor was so smart. This is why schools are really invented. They're waiting for the ones that are really like the brainiacs. And then people like Bill Gates come in and like, your child is extraordinary. We'd love to put them in a quote government position. And then they send this poor dummy into a lab where he thinks he's important and he thinks he's saving lives when technically he's working for Satan himself. We need you to GMO mosquitoes and spread them in the wild. How is Bill Gates not in the middle of the street with every limb missing from him as humanity catches on to how many lives he's destroyed?
Now again,
the power of money, people. The power of,
well, he gives us a lot of money to fund our school.
Oh, is that how money works? Is that how the love of money works? You're willing to turn a blind eye as long as you're funded by Bill? Okay.
Hey, Bill,
release the mosquitoes. Clay, the only thing missing at the end of that video is someone going, that's the only thing missing.
I just, Jim, he's making 30 million mosquitoes a week. And again, I mean, James and I were talking and we were going, I mean, this is very interesting that Bill did this. We were going, if there could just be somebody to make 30 million mosquitoes a week, that's the kind of guy we could get behind.
Yeah.
Right. Let's not create $30 million worth of farms to help homeless and to fight all the drug addicts dumping in every city in our country. Let's put $30 million into mosquitoes, because that's an issue.
Well, okay. So let me pull up this next clip here. This is the mayor of New York. He's got a new plan, a new strategy, a vision for how to deal with illegal immigration. It's a really incredible work of.
Here
we go.
To take the next step to this, go to the faith-based locales, and then move to private residents. There are residents who are suffering right now because of economic challenges. They have spare rooms. They have locales. And if we can find a way to get over the 30-day rule.
Okay, so he's saying that what we need to do now is we need to house illegal immigrants in the homes of residents. Let me get your thoughts.
You know what I'd say? Here's what I'd say to him. If I was there, I'd go, Mayor, love this idea. However, I say you set an example and you walk the walk. Let's start with that suit you're wearing, because I know that ain't no mall suit. I know that ain't no Banana Republic suit. That's a suit well paid for by the taxpayers. So why don't you start with taking some, and why don't you film the documentary of all the quote immigrants that you are putting in your home? Put a couple in the basement, put a couple in the right wing, put a couple in the mayor's mansion, maybe have some of your servants, you know, play cards with them at night. When I see, set the example, show us how this is supposed to be done. But I want a good 5-month example before I say the residents of New York start doing this incredible good deed that you suggest. Maybe we should start by not letting them in and sending them home. Maybe we should let criminals just run awry. Let them do what they like. Let them do what they please. But hey, these 400,000 immigrants in New York City, let's put them up where they belong. Let's not take care of grandma who can't afford anything now because of taxes and everything else that you just take off our backs every day. Let's start putting immigrants in our house. Yeah, let's do that. What? You know what I say to that? Jackass.
Okay, now James, you and I, you know, we are I would consider us to be sort of like energy experts,
right?
And a lot of times we drive to the Reawaken America tour. We drive to every event, you know, so we'll drive by these massive meals, and I'm thinking, You know, the great thing about the windmill, the theory behind them is that they use the wind to generate power. The wind turbines, they take wind and they generate energy, and they don't need a fossil fuel to run because they would be these turbines.
Right.
So here, let's just kind of break this down here.
Scotland's power sector is coming under fire after it was revealed that officials used massive diesel generators to ensure dozens of giant turbines on wind farms could function. According to the Sunday Mail, they were tipped off by a whistleblower who cited a number of environmental, health, and safety concerns, one of which was half a dozen diesel generators running for up to 6 hours a day to de-ice the wind turbines. Scottish Power was forced to hook up 71 windmills to the fossil fuel supply after a fault on their grid caused the system to fail to keep the turbines warm and working during the cold month of December. Other concerns from the whistleblower included thousands of liters of leaked oil from hydraulic units and technical faults that see turbines taking
in. Jim, thumbs up, thumbs down. What are your thoughts on this idea?
Oh, I think it's a brilliant idea. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with satanic, creepy, disturbing human beings finding another way to sell humanity nonsense called climate change or green earth or whatever. You know what they should do? They should put them in the oceans and murder whales, and they should blast sonars. So, what does a whale use to navigate its world? Sonar, huh? I wonder why they're washing up on the shores of New Jersey and all the dolphins are washing up. And as, of course, they would say, well, you know, it's in the long run, it's good for all. It's good for people. Another dumb, pathetic. The left side loves slogans. They love the word energy. They love they love the word green earth, and they don't know anything about it. And they just go, oh, windmill, that works. Okay. Not even talking about how it pretty much almost destroyed the American bald eagle population at one point. It's the worst idea in human history, but boy, you know what we should do? We should release all the mosquitoes in front of the windmills, and maybe that'll get them all out there quicker. Thank you, Bill Gates.
Now, this next one here, this is Yuval Noah Harari, who's also a member of the World Economic Forum, and he's loved by Schwab and Gates and Obama.
Oh, I love this guy.
There's a documentary made about him on the VPro Network, and he was just dropping some knowledge bombs. Let's see what he has to say here.
You know, oh, he's the greatest.
Know that Neanderthals and Homo sapiens had sex and even had children together.
They thought they were.
Let's go back real quick here.
You know, people in the 70s didn't know that Neanderthals and Homo sapiens had sex and even had children together.
They thought they were two different.
They thought they were two different species, and the Neanderthals disappeared. And this is what you see in the episode. Now we know from genetic evidence that, yes, something like 50,000 years ago, some Neanderthals had sex with some sapiens, and most of us have some Neanderthal DNA.
It's like 2%.
2%, 3%, something like that. The value of the coin comes from the fact that other people also value it. And then it moved to paper. That, oh, well, why do we need this cumbersome gold? Yeah. We can just shift to
paper. It's so heavy, yeah.
Yeah, it's much easier, and it's the same principle.
Yeah.
The value of the pay, it has no value in itself. It's just if everybody believes the story that the bankers come and tell us, you know, this green piece of paper, it's worth a banana. If you believe it and I believe it and the people in the supermarket believe it, it works. I can go to the supermarket, give this worthless piece of paper and get a banana. And then it moved to the next stage, which is digital. Most money today in the world is not even paper. Yeah. If you take all the papers and coins, it's less than 10%. It's only basically data in computers being moved around. Like, how did this shirt get to me? I moved some bits in a computer from this file to that file.
You ordered it online.
And the people got paid and digitally. And you know, during the current crisis, governments have created trillions, not millions, trillions of euros and yens and dollars. And how do they do it? It's not like in the 1920s that you have.
And James, he goes on to continue to advocate for his belief that Neanderthals were having sex with humans. And he's really anti-money. I don't know, James, if that's something you're getting behind. Is it?
He's anti-money, but pro-bananas.
Jim, what are your thoughts?
Well, I do understand him going into the theory of where money comes from and all that. I question all that, too. I question the matrix that we all live into and how we got here. How did we go from tribal living off the earth to what we're wearing, all that. However, my issue with this guy is, I remember him, there's a video of him basically saying, you'll no longer need like your soul, and humans won't have faith and souls, and we'll just put a chip in you. Something to that degree, which really, really, I went, wow, you have Gates as the main evil cat, and he's one of the other Avengers that are causing destruction. Anyone part of the World Economic Forum falls under the umbrella of every bad Batman movie.
I want to ask you this, Jim. You speak at a lot of events. I mean, you're always where were you? You were in New York. Were you just in New York? Is that right?
Yes, I just left New Jersey when the smoke was coming in.
So let's just say, though, that, you know, a venue booked you and they said, Jim, we're going to have you come on the stage, and behind you, there's going to be an awesome, massive Tower of Babel. That's the theme we're going with. That's what we're going to do. It's a Tower of Babel theme. Just kind of picture that in your mind, James. Just kind of picture that in your mind as you watch Yuval Noah Harari deliver a speech on May 14th where he insists on the Tower of Babel being behind him during his presentation. Watch this here.
The operating system of every human culture in history has always been language. In the beginning was the word. We use language to create mythology and laws, to create gods and money, to create art and science, to create friendships and nations. For example, human rights are not a biological reality. They are not inscribed in our DNA. Human rights is something that we created with language by telling stories and writing laws. Gods are also not a biological or physical reality. Gods, too, is something that we humans have created with language by telling legends and writing scriptures. Money is not a biological or physical reality. Banknotes are just worthless pieces of paper, and at present, more than 90% of the money in the world is not even banknotes. It's just electronic information in computers passing from here to there.
I'd love to get your thoughts there, Jim. I'm sure you missed that keynote address. You were probably talking to your wife or other humans that don't hate other humans, but we want to get your thoughts on that.
I was most likely watching the debate of pro-life, pro-choice, gun control, and all the other fun things they spiral us around in circles to point each other and hate each other for. I feel like I don't know what his main agenda is, but I do, you know, he is going to sell a lot of people what he's saying, but people are forgetting that there's a spirit that lives in every human being that was naturally created by forces, not by science or any other thing. A spirit lives in all living creatures, all living beings, plants, everything. Everything is driven by a spirit, which comes from somewhere deeper, which is God. And so anyone that talks in this world, and you know, what I think honestly happened, this guy lost a parent when he was young and somewhere decided like, you know, God sucks. People often, unfortunately, when they deal with death, they either go, why did God sucks for doing this? Where they don't understand, they're not on their plan. They're part of a master plan. And we're all blessed to be part of this life 24/7. This guy is on a high agenda to basically think the opposite way. And unfortunately, there's a lot of bananas out there, no pun intended from his early video, that fall for this stuff.
Now, Jim, you know, the FDA this year, before I met you, I'm sure, you know, you and I were all dealing with COVID and we knew people that were trying to get access to hydroxychloroquine. That was a big thing. People were trying to get access to hydroxychloroquine. They're trying to get access to budesonide, ivermectin, effective treatments for COVID. And they couldn't get it done. They struggled to get access to these effective medications because the FDA was making it difficult for doctors to get hydroxychloroquine. Now, that same FDA just approved Elon Musk to put brain chips inside the human cranium. Let me hit player.
Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink, said on Thursday it had been given a green light from the U.S. FDA to kickstart its first-in-human clinical study. It's a critical milestone for Neuralink after earlier struggles to gain approval.
We're confident that it is possible to restore full-body functionality.
Musk believes brain implants could cure a range of conditions, including obesity, autism, depression, and schizophrenia.
Can you imagine that in when we are sitting here, we have an implant in our brains, and I can immediately feel, because you all will have implants, I can, and we measure your brain waves, and I can immediately tell you how the people react, or I can feel how the people react to your answers. Is it imaginable?
I think that is imaginable. I think I think, you know, you can imagine that. You can imagine, well, you're going to be sort of transplanted into, you know, the internet, so to speak, to live forever in a digital realm.
If you have a good two-way communication system directly between brains and computers, it also means you can connect several brains together to create an interbrain network with a because it's the same system, the same communication system, and nobody has any idea what this means for things like identity. Who am I when I can access directly the brain of another person?
Okay, you got Harari and Schwab and Musk. They're all a big fan of brain chips, but the FDA says, no, you can't have access. Doctor, you cannot have access to hydroxychloroquine, but you can. You can put a brain chip in a human head. I'd just love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, listen, saving lives. How much money are you going to pay me to sell that? Yeah, no, we're sticking to Pfizer and we're sticking to MDA. They're worth trillions of dollars. You ain't paying me enough for hydroxychloroquine. Wait, hold on. What's that? How much are you going to pay me? I say we put chips in. I say the FDA is probably one of the biggest, most criminal organizations. Forget the mafia. Forget the drug lords. Forget big pharmaceutical. FDA is one of the biggest criminal organizations that ever existed, along with multi other so-called trusted American, if not worldwide, organizations that are paid to make sure your life is safe. Boy, oh boy. What I say is, hey, if you want a brain chip, knock yourself out. If you want to put on, if you want to chop your donkey off, knock yourself out. If you want to become half man, half human, knock yourself. Whatever government FDA says, by all means, trust them 1,000%. Go have your Frosted Flakes in the morning and go put on your Johnson & Johnson baby powder. And put your 48 vaccines in your child so they're safe. And then give them some hormone blockers. Thank you, FDA. And when you're done with that, put a chip in their brain because we know you care.
Now,
and it's FDA approved.
Well, it's FDA approved, so it's got to be safe and effective. I mean, you don't even question it. You see FDA, and you go, yes, that's what I need. That's what I'm going to do.
Who's the guy? There's a guy from the FDA that quit. Remember that? He's like, I'm quitting over there. And what did he do? He went to, like, the WHO. They're all connected. It's all we could be here all day, but FDA stands for organized crime. It's a nice word for organized crime.
Now, Jim, what we're going to do here.
FDA approved hasn't. Yeah, never mind.
Jim, what we're going to do now here in the final 5 minutes here, I want to respect your time as you appear to be dodging traffic while conducting this interview, and I want to make sure that we keep safety second. That's one of my top priorities, is safety second here. So this is Leonard Nimoy. What year were you born, James? What year were you born?
1993.
67.
Oh. You were born in 67, Jim, you were born in
93.
Okay, so we have a different span of age ranges here. This is Leonard Nimoy. Now, this guy was the man. If you were kind of born in that window of like late 60s to early 80s, I mean, Spock was the man. Star Trek was where it was at.
Yeah, he was.
And this guy, he hopped on because he had the character he played as this logical guy who can't possibly lie or manipulate. Right. So the good folks pushing climate change thought, this is our guy. Let's get in Spock.
Yes.
So let's see what Spock had to say here about climate change. Here we go.
This is going to be great.
The past million years, it has advanced and retreated with clockwork regularity. If we are unprepared for the next advance, the result could be hunger and death on a scale unprecedented in all of history. What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not...